Appreciate the good songs today. I'm persuaded to believe that if it were not for the valleys in our lives, if it were not for the trials that we face in life, I'm persuaded to believe that we never would stay very close to the Lord. And Bible says all things work together for good to them that love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. All things. It doesn't say just good things. It says all things work together for good. Appreciate the good songs today. I'd like to ask for your prayers, and I'd like to direct your attention to a scripture reading in Psalm 26. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me today, Psalm 26, and I'd like to talk with you today concerning some thoughts from this psalm that the Lord has placed upon my heart, and certainly, again, ask an interest in your prayers. Title of my message today will be Things I Have Enjoyed in God's House. Things I Have Enjoyed in God's House. Psalm 26, beginning with verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Now listen to verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. And I want you to remember again what we find recorded there in the 8th verse. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house. And again, I want to, my thought today and my title today will be Things I Have Enjoyed in God's House. I want to, as always, more than anything, I thank the Lord for being merciful enough to me and gracious enough towards me to save my unworthy soul. I'm thankful that I'm saved. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me and the greatest blessing I've ever had in this life. But I'm also very thankful, as I expressed just a couple of weeks ago, I'm also very thankful to have the privilege of being a member of the Lord's church. I thank God for my church membership. And if you are a member of one of the Lord's churches, you ought to value that. That ought to be something very, very precious to you indeed. It's something that, we ought to be very careful not to take for granted. And we ought to be willing, when we unite with the Lord's church, we ought to be willing to try to live our lives for the Lord, and we ought to be willing to serve the church to which we belong. And so it's indeed a great privilege. And as I begin today with this message, although you have heard me quote this scripture many, many times, I want to remind you again today that the scriptures teach us that the assembling of ourselves together is something that we are not to forsake. The Bible tells us that very plainly in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I want to speak about that today, about things that I have enjoyed when that I have been together with God and His people. And I say that way because I believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit of God makes it all worth it, doesn't it? Certainly when we come today and when we come to God's house anytime, we ought to anticipate and we ought to expect that the Lord would meet with us and that He would make His presence known and that He would make His power manifest among us through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He is the way in which the Lord is with His church. And He has been. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. And it's through Him, through the manifestation and the work of the Holy Spirit, in that way the Lord has been with His church. You know, all throughout, we know that when the Lord organized the church for a while, He was with her bodily. He was here for a time on the earth in the body with His church, but He made it known that He was going to be leaving, that He was going to be ascending back to heaven, but He promised His church that she would not be left alone. He promised His church that He would not leave her comfortless, but that He would send another comforter. And the Scriptures tell us very plainly that the comforter is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So it is through the person of the Holy Spirit that God reveals Himself to us, that He makes known His presence among us. And certainly when we come together in the house of the Lord, it is wonderful to feel the presence of God with us. And so we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, Jesus spoke about His church assembling. We find recorded in the 18th chapter of Matthew in verse 20, Jesus said, if it were just two or three that assembled, that He would be in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there will I be in the midst of them. And so the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the assembly of His church. The Apostle Paul spoke about the church at Corinth. If you read the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you will find there that the Apostle Paul made reference to the church at Corinth coming together. He made reference to them assembling for the purpose of the observance of the Lord's Supper. He spoke about them coming together in one place for that purpose. Now, we have done this as I'm talking about having assembled. We have done this at different times in different places. You know, we have assembled ourselves together before at the park in the summertime for at the end of our vacation Bible school. We have assembled ourselves together in fellowship there for our vacation Bible school picnic. We have assembled ourselves and generally do in the fall at Brother Mike and Sister Laura's house for our fall get-together, and we come together there from time to time, and we assemble. And I want you to know that the church is not the building. We can assemble in different places and be Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. We do not have to be in this location to be the church that we are. But years ago, and Brother Sanford mentioned it, he spoke about it actually in his testimony. Thank you for that this morning, Brother Sanford. He spoke about that in his testimony, how that years ago, Fairview Memorial built this building, this particular building that we are assembled in today. They built it for this purpose and dedicated it to the Lord as a house of worship. And it is here primarily that we come together, that we assemble ourselves together, and that we unite our hearts in worship, and we unite our hearts in praise, and try in our weak way to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to exalt Him. I'll tell you what, listen, there's somebody that needs to be exalted here today. There's somebody that needs to be exalted every time that we assemble. And it's not your pastor, and it's not your deacons, and it's not the laity of the church. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is to be lifted up. It is Him that is to be praised. That's what the scriptures speak about, that it's the Lord that is to be praised in the assembly of the saints, that it's Him that is to be worshiped in the assembly of the saints. And that's what makes our gathering today so important, folks, is that we did not come here to worship one another. We did not come here to merely worship mortal man. We came here today to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We came here to worship the God of heaven. We came here today to lift up our voices in praise of the one that established the church, of the one that gave His life a ransom for our sins, the one that made the sacrifice there at Calvary that God accepted as a means for all people to be saved. God forbid that I should glory or boast. God forbid that I should boast in anything except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby this world is crucified to me and I'm crucified to this world. You know, listen, if you're going to boast in something, I say this today to every child of God, if you're going to boast in anything, let it be in this, that you know the Lord. That's what the scriptures tell us. If you're going to boast in anything, let it be that you know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. We really don't have in the scriptures, we really don't have much evidence. When we read about the church at Jerusalem, and we read about the church at Ephesus, and we read about the church at Corinth, and so on and so forth, we read about those churches that were situated in different cities and different towns, and we really don't have much evidence. I know in the book of Acts it mentions a church being in someone's house, but we don't have much evidence in the scriptures that the churches that we read about in the Bible, that they had a place like this where they came to the same place week after week, where they had what might be called a meeting house or a house of worship, and met week after week in the same place, certainly through the years of heavy persecution against the Lord's church, certainly through the years of the dark ages, the church was not able to do that. There were times when they had to move around. There were times when they had to hide away in different places in order to be able to assemble together and to worship. But I'll tell you what, I believe that the Lord's church has done throughout the years, whether they had a place where they were able to come together. You know, the church has spent, you know, we've had a lot less years of the freedom of worship than what the church has had the other way. There's been many more years of persecution against the church than there has been freedom. But no matter regardless of that, I'll tell you what, I do believe that the Lord's church has tried to uphold throughout the years of her existence, I do believe that she has made a great and a diligent effort to assemble together, to come together, and to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord, the one that's worthy of being praised. I thank God today for the things I have experienced in His house. David expressed his thankfulness, I believe, in this 26th Psalm when he spoke about having loved the habitation of the Lord's house. He also spoke of it in the 122nd Psalm in the first two verses. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Does anybody remember maybe a couple of years ago, maybe a little bit less than that, somewhere around that time? Does anybody remember Brother Strode's story one night when he was opening up on the third Sunday night for one of our singings, and he spoke to us about attitude and how important that attitude can be? And let me ask you, with this verse in mind, about your attitude, about your disposition today, about your the way that you feel about this today, because friends, listen, as I've already said, it's a privilege for us to be able to be the Lord's church. To be a member of the Lord's church is a great privilege, and I want you to know that it's a privilege today that we have to be together like this. I came here today and do from week to week expecting to experience things that I just may not experience anywhere else throughout my week. When I am assembled together with the people of God, there are things I'm thankful that, back through the years of my life, I'm thankful that this has been a part of my life, a very crucial, important, active part of my life, to be assembled together with the church of the living God. There are things I've experienced among her that you just don't experience out in the world. I'll tell you what, when I come here and I assemble with God's people in the presence of the Lord, it's a strength to me. Do you get strength from it? I've heard people before talk about church services. I've heard people before talk about assembling with their church and make reference to it being a filling station where they could come and get filled up, where they could come and get fueled up and get lifted up in the Lord to go out and fight the battle a little bit more, to go out and work for the Lord and live for the Lord. And sometimes, listen, sometimes we can get drained, and sometimes we can get weak, and sometimes we need to be replenished. And I'll tell you what, assembling together with your brothers and sisters in Christ is a good place to get it. It's a good place to get it. David, he said, "I was glad." I believe that was his attitude. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." How was it with you when you woke up this morning, when you opened your eyes this morning and you thought, this is the dawning of another Sabbath day? How was it in your thoughts, in your heart, and in your mind? Did you get happy in the Lord? Did you say, "I'm so happy, I'm so glad that this is the day that I get to go to the house of the Lord. This is the day that I get to go and meet together with my brothers and my sisters. This is the day that I get to unite my heart with theirs and worship the Lord of Lords, worship the God of glory. I'm so happy about that today, that I get to do that." Or did you wake up and roll over and turn to the other side and say, Sunday again? Are you like the person that wakes up in the morning and says, "Good morning, Lord"? Or do you wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning"? Attitude has a lot to do with things. And I believe that that's what David expressed in this, was his attitude. I was glad. I believe he was overjoyed. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." And you know what? David, King David, the one that wrote these Psalms that I'm sharing with you today, he never got to do what you and I have been blessed to do. David passed the time of his life. He lived in this world, and he died, and he left the world having never had enjoyed the privilege of assembling with the Lord's church. The church didn't exist in his day. It does in ours. When David made reference to the house of the Lord, he was most likely making reference to the tabernacle. It was even after David's days that the temple was built. Solomon, his son, built the temple. And so David, in making reference to the house of the Lord, would have most likely been making reference to the tabernacle and the things that would take place there. But we, today, we enjoy, for the time being anyway, we enjoy religious freedom. We enjoy religious liberty. We can come here today and we can assemble together today and we can worship today according to our beliefs, according to the dictates of our own conscience and our own hearts. And we can do that today without interference. Without being stopped, we have that freedom today. And I pray that we will take advantage of that and that we will use it and that we will enjoy it for as long as we have it, however long that may be. I don't know. Like I said, it hasn't been very many years that the church has enjoyed that type of thing and has experienced that type of freedom. But we have it today. How do you feel about your church? Well, you can ask yourself and answer that for yourself in your own heart. But I want to declare before you today that there have been things I've experienced in my lifetime in the house of the Lord that have made an impression upon my heart and upon my mind like nothing else ever has. They're imprinted in my heart and in my mind. Things that I have seen, things that I have heard, things that I have witnessed among the people of God. I want to tell you this. I know this is difficult. I know this may be a hard thing for us to grasp. I know that we get sentimentally attached to things, sometimes far more than what we ought to do. But we need to always remember this. We believe it. I mean, I can say it, and people will say amen, and we believe it. We believe that the church is a group of baptized believers. We believe the church is a body of people, not a building. And I am thankful, as I've already made known, I am thankful that we can do this today. I'm thankful that we have this place today, that we can come together and we can worship. But let me tell you something, all the good things that have happened to you here throughout the years at this place or somewhere else, as far as that goes, all the good blessings that have been yours to enjoy, You better never attribute those memories to a building. You better attribute all those memories that you have to the blessings of the Lord upon your life, because no matter how much that we enjoy it, this is made of brick and wood, and that's all that it is. And it's not to be worshiped. I believe it is to be respected, because it is dedicated to be a place where we worship the Lord, but we are the church without it. We are the church. We are Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church as a body of baptized believers covenanted together to maintain the ordinances and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we ever have to do that somewhere else, that's what we will still be, the Lord's church. Israel did that. Israel began to attach sentimental value to the brazen serpent above what they ever should have. They attached value to that thing to the point that they began to burn incense to it. And thank God for Hezekiah that came along and took that thing and broke it in pieces and called it Nehushtan and said, listen, children, this thing is nothing but brass. We don't worship objects. I'll tell you what, if you worship an object in any way, even if it's a church building, it's idolatry. Now, that you may not care for that, but that's the truth. If we worship anything but the Lord, it's idolatry. So I'm thankful that we, listen, the house where my children grew up in was actually a parsonage. The longest we ever lived in any one house was when we lived in a church's parsonage. And the house that my children grew up in, certainly there's memories. But you know what? When we left there, I had those memories right with me, right in my heart. And nothing, the way that the Lord blessed me and my family, nothing will ever take that away from me. And so, I'm thankful for the church. The church, the people of God, the people of God. Thankful that I've been privileged to be a part of it, just to be with God's people. You know, the greatest thing in life that can be experienced, we have that in common. Jude spoke about that common salvation. We have a kindred spirit. I love the way we worship. The singing. Have you ever had this happen? I'm persuaded to believe that probably most everybody here has. When we come here in our way of worship, we have singing. We have testifying. You know, a lot of people, listen, there's a lot of assemblies that come together that nobody says anything but the preacher. I mean, the people don't say a word. They sit there and they don't say a word, but we come together and we worship with liberty and with freedom, and we share our burdens with each other, and we share our testimonies with each other, and we pray together. And when we come together, and have you not experienced those times in your life when you came into the house of the Lord, you came to worship with your brothers and your sisters, and you were in need, you were dry, you were spiritually parched, you were in need of something, and lo and behold, sometime throughout that service and the assembly of the saints, there was something in a song that was sung There was something in a testimony that was given. There was something in a good old brother or sister's prayer. There was something in the sermon that was preached that when you heard that, you knew that that was just exactly what you needed. That God gave me today just exactly what I needed when I was assembled together with the people of the Lord. I'll tell you what I've treasured in the house of God. I've treasured seeing the effect of God's word on the lives of people. Either His people that are already saved or those that are lost. I've stood throughout the land in different places. No doubt many of you have witnessed it. In different places where I was among the true church, one of the Lord's true churches, and seen the gospel have its effect on people. Saw it here last week. Saw some, you know, lost souls walking up here towards the mourner's bench, tears streaming down their face, their countenance showing how that they were affected by the presence of the Lord. I've enjoyed that in the house of God. I've loved those times in assembly when we've been gathered together praying for somebody, and all of a sudden they would give testimony that the Lord had saved them. Now, I'm not saying that God only saves people in church. He saves people everywhere. And He'll save you wherever you'll meet His conditions. But I'm saying that that's something that we have experienced when we've been assembled together in the house of the Lord. I'll tell you what, this is my favorite day of the week. When we come together in God's house is my favorite time of the week. It excites me. Usually by about Thursday or Friday, I'm beginning to look forward to our service. I'm beginning to look forward to us being together, coming together and assembling ourselves and worshiping together. Hearing God's song, hearing God praised in song, hearing the testimonies. I love to hear people testify of the goodness of God in their life. And I've experienced a lot of that in the house of the Lord. I appreciate you being here today. I appreciate your desire today. I have a duty. I have a duty. I have a duty today as a member of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. I have a duty today to be here. You believe that? I'm not sure a lot of people believe that, to be honest with you. I have a duty today to be here. As the pastor of this church, I had a duty to be here today, to stand before you, to bring before you the message that God would have to be heard today. That's my duty as your pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't mere duty that brought me here today. It was desire. Desire. God put that in my heart. He put it in my heart. And I'm thankful that He did. And I have a desire to assemble and a desire to be together. And I've enjoyed my time in the house of the Lord, and look forward to whatever else that God has in store for me through the days of my life. And then when that's all over, then I'm going to a great meeting. I'm going to the meeting of all meetings. I'm going to the great assembly in heaven, join the Hallelujah Chorus there to worship the Lord forever and ever without any interruption. But thank God for the things that we experience in the house of the Lord. I hope that at least a little something's been said today to be an encouragement to you in some way. I want to invite you to come back to the service tonight. I've got a message that I'd like to bring this evening. I'd like to ask you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock to the evening service. And I'd like to make a special request today of those of you that are lost, or parents, if you have children that are lost, I'd like to make a special plea to you today to bring them back tonight to the house of the Lord. Bring them back to the service tonight at 6 o'clock. So I'd like for us to maybe just have a verse or two of a song. I'd like to ask you to stand if you would at this time. I appreciate your attention today.